From KALW News in San Francisco, this is a special edition of Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Mountain View.
San Rafael.
Lower Haight, San Francisco.
Brentwood.
Corte Madera.
Pleasant Hill.
Inner Richmond in San Francisco.
Montclair in Oakland.
Coming up, we see how prison realignment is shaking out for female prisoners.
I know if I would have had any other PO, I would have just gave up and not been back. But she's like persistent to be like, you're going to be here, right? You're gonna. She works with me so much.
Then one farmer describes what it takes to grow on a vacant lot in Richmond.
I started in October with a block cleanup, 3-day block cleanup with 60 volunteers and the mayor showing up.
And a local filmmaker takes us around the world to experience samsara.
You want this film to feel like you're flowing through it. And it doesn't sort of let you out anywhere.
That and more today on an hour-long edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba, co-hosting today's show with our senior editor, Casey Miner. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks, Hannah. I'm here because we're doing things a little differently in honor of our fall membership campaign. So for these 2 weeks, we are taking you behind the scenes so you can get a sense of how we manage to keep this little station going each day. And I can tell you our secret in one word. Volunteers.
That's right. We have at least a dozen that work with us here in the newsroom to bring you Cross Currents every day. But the ones you will interact with the most but hear the least about are those in the phone room. We talk about them a lot this time of year because they usher in every single call and donation into the station. So we thought we'd send our engineer Seth Samuel to the phone room to introduce you to some of those volunteers.
My name is Horace Marks. And I am a resident in Glen Park, here in the city.
I'm from Glen Park. Which street?
Whitney Street. Whitney near 30th.
That's a good one. How many times a year do you come here? Or how often do you come here?
Normally doing the plates drives, mostly, but there are other times during the year where there are other projects, such as envelope stuffing and sorting of one type or another. So I would say that during the course of a year, I'm probably here something in the order of 35 to 40 hours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What exactly does it mean to volunteer during a pledge drive?
Well, for me, it's giving back a little something to the community outside of writing a check. It's getting a local flavor of answering the calls, talking with some of the listeners about their favorite programs, and more importantly, just to connect with the station and the great programming that it offers.
Thank you, Horace and Seth. We'll be hearing more stories about our phone room volunteers throughout the show today, so you can get to know the passionate people behind the voices you hear when you call. And the number you call is 1-800-525-9917.
That's right. You can talk to volunteers like Horace directly by calling 1-800-525-9917. Or if you want to make a donation online, you can always do that at kalw.org. And now it's time for our first story, and it's about a person who represents thousands of women currently dealing with the effects of prison restructuring across the state.
Since last October, realignment, known legally as AB 109, has shifted the responsibility for low-level offenders from state prison to county jails. It's giving people who would have been on state parole more chances to turn their lives around by placing them on what's called post-release community supervision. Right now, over 30,000 people are in the program, and about 20% of that group are women.
KALW's Nicole Jones brings us the story of one woman who's getting an unexpected chance to get out of the system.
That's the sound of Christina Martinez's life for the past 12 years.
Look how thick this is. Look, this is... Okay, let's look. Come on.
Martinez and her probation officer, Robin Nicole Livingston, are looking down at a file 4 inches thick.
All these green papers are cases, so let's see. When was your first case? Your first case, an adult in this county, was in 2001. First case, stolen car. Let's see what your next case was. Driving under the influence, stolen car.
This is the first time Martinez has come face-to-face with her file.
Now we are in 2010, 24 months prison. Commercial burglary, forgery, make, possess, fictitional statement, prior petty theft, second-degree robbery, forgery.
That's crazy. That's heck of crazy. That's a big old folder right there. Embarrassing. It's a huge. It's like, I'm not adding to that folder right there. That's enough to, it's like a whole tree right there.
Martinez was released from Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla in February. She's supposed to check in with Livingston once a week, but she's missed an appointment here and there. Today, she took a drug test. That's positive, just like her last two.
So now we need to do outpatient.
If it were a year ago, an infraction like this would have sent Martinez right back to prison. The state's new policy of realignment means she can stay on probation instead. But if she racks up enough violations, she'll face consequences.
Because here's the thing. If I make the referral to outpatient and you don't go, well, then your next referral is inpatient. And let's say you don't go there. Well, now your next step is custody. And that's what actually took me so long. I kept you guys waiting. I have to flash somebody because he didn't show up.
Okay.
And I don't want you to be that person.
I won't take it to that level. I won't.
To flash someone is to flash incarcerate them. It's a punishment for routine infractions like missing an appointment or testing positive for drugs. Flashes last just a few days. It takes a serious crime to send someone back to prison for good. Until then, they get chances.
I don't want you to give up on yourself. Because I'm not going to give up on you. You know, so yeah, I'll just keep calling you. And I'll keep making appointments. And I'll keep reminding you, you didn't come. Because you got to know, it's better. It's better than what you have right here. But all you're ever going to be is that gangster girl. All you're ever going to be is Chola who comes up and, you know, knocks you out.
Chola, the gangbanger. That's how Martinez is known on the street. She used to be the one her friends would come to when they needed something done or someone hurt. One afternoon at a Denny's in Antioch, she shows me the tattoos on her arms and chest, each signifying a distinct point in her life. One says, no hard feelings, playgirl for life. Another,
hated by all, confronted by none. That's for all the fake people out there that still, hey, how you doing? And they can't stand you and they're in your face.
Martinez wears these tattoos like she does her past, with confidence and certainty. She has a pretty face. Her lips are always glossed, her nails painted in some bright hue. She has a taste for designer clothes, something her past activities allowed her to indulge.
And at times I start stressing out. I'm like, that's all I know. I could go do this and that, make an ID, check credit cards, and go shopping all day and get items and da-da. Or I can, you know, anything. I can get the pound of drugs and go start selling it. I can do any hustle I want, you know. And then I'm like, no, you can't.
She can't do that anymore. She was released from prison with just $200, and she's trying to earn a legal living.
From having it all out here and doing it, to just sitting back. Even people that I ran into, they're like, what's up with you? You all right? I'm like, why? What do you mean? You just ain't the same since you got home. I'm like, it ain't the same.
Chola is not the same, but a lot of things still are. After leaving the Denny's, Martinez heads for her old neighborhood.
This is all over. They have all the shootings and stuff right here. They hang out right there on the railroad tracks. Look at, watch, it's gonna get way worse right now. Look at where all the garbage is out here. Where all the guys are standing outside.
This was her hangout over the last 15 years, where she went when she got out of prison, and where she did the things that sent her back in.
I was in and out there in my teenage years, in and out that apartment. That's when I was thinking I was a gangbanger, and I thought I was selling drugs, thought I was hustling. 18 years old, running it up and down these streets, thinking it was cool. Thinking it was cool to run up and down these streets. Now you look at it, you're like, oh my God, who would ever run up these streets? It ain't cool. Because look what it got me, a prison sentence, another prison sentence, another prison sentence.
Martina says she's done with that life, but it's not easy to stay away from. A week later, she's back in Livingston's office.
Things are getting worse and 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 worse. The more I try to stay away from everybody in a way, it's worse.
What happened?
Well, with my truck, it was a big old thing. Somebody that I owed money back in the days.
Martinez tells Livingston that she had to leave the place she's been staying and is now back on the streets.
Part of me wants to just give up and just go back. Just take me to prison, Nicole, Robin. Take me. It's like, it's hard. It's
like, I love your eyes so much. It's going to pop out. It's okay to cry. Crying is healthy. Don't stop that.
See, that's all you know, and that's where you live in life, in prison, you know. And now here, it's like, everyday struggle.
Right now, Martinez needs really basic things, a stable place to live, a job. But the basic things are some of the hardest to find. Realignment is still relatively new, and many communities don't yet have the resources to handle the influx. The city of Richmond has created a reentry council dedicated to helping people like Martinez rejoin the community safely. Livingston says that's a good start.
Anything that would help women, you know, we have to kind of think of the women coming out of prison as women in a developing nation, because we're developing as we go. And I've had people tell me, just send me back to prison, this is too hard.
At their meetings, Livingston doesn't hesitate to tell Martinez that she could send her back to jail at any time.
Missed appointments, unreturned phone calls, positive drug tests, she'd have been violated by now. She'd have gone back. Because that's the system.
Between finding some place to sleep and reliable transportation to meetings, Martinez knows she's walking a thin line between freedom and being back in custody.
I know if I would have had any other PO, I would have just gave up and not been back. But she's like persistent to be like, you're going to be here, right? She works with me so much.
She knows she has to start outpatient treatment for her drug addiction. She's warming to the idea and to Livingston herself.
That's one thing I told her. I won't lie. If I'm dirty, I'm dirty. If I'm not, I'm not. Because I don't want to be dirty. It's not like I want to be out there on drugs.
Livingston says working with Martinez takes patience.
You know, no, someone else might have given up and said, you know, she doesn't really care. But if you talk to her and you get to listen to what she's saying, you hear just the opposite. She does care.
And we don't want to go back. That's the main goal, is not going back, but it's hard. It's hard to get out and not know where you're going to sleep, where you're going to put your head, where you're going to shower, and what you're going to wear tomorrow, you know? And it's a struggle, but keep moving forward. You know, I feel that it's all going to fall in place. It's all going to fall in place.
In Antioch, I'm Nicole Jones for Cross Currents.
You can hear more of our criminal justice reporting at KALW.org. That's also where you can become a member of KALW and support in-depth reports like the one you just heard. Just click that big button that says Donate Now.
And, you know, really remember, like, we're the station that takes you inside the places we so often just walk by.
That's
we
right.
try really hard to bring you the voices of people who are very often left out of mainstream media coverage. Right now is your chance to let us know how much you appreciate this, how much you appreciate Cross Currents, by calling 1-800-525-9917. Or you can just go to kalw.org.
Coming up, we'll take you to a farm in an unlikely place.
There are residents that have come to me that have asked for vacant lots, and I've been able to work with the city manager to provide some of the city lots.
That's coming up in just a few minutes. You're listening to Cross Currents, and I'm Hannah Baba, here with my co-host for today, Casey Miner, our senior editor. Hey, Casey.
Hello. And we aren't taking any time away from programming you listen to today. In fact, we're bringing you more than you usually get, a full hour. But we do want to take a short moment to remind you that we are in our fall membership drive, and this kind of informative, personal take on storytelling is only possible with your support. So please call 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. And let us know that you want this kind of reporting, that it matters to you, that this continues on KALW.
And if you call right now during this hour of Cross Currents, we have some goodies for you. You'll get a pair of tickets to join us in a Cross Currents mixer. You join me and Casey and Martina Castro and Ben Trefney and Holly Kernan. All the people who make this show meet us at a party that our team is throwing for all of you at the Oakland Museum of California on December 8th. So if you call right now during this hour of Cross Currents, you'll get a pair of tickets to that, get to meet the team at KALW News, and party with us before we perform our second annual live Cross Currents that night. But that's only if you call right now, 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org.
We often tell you that there's a room full of live volunteers waiting to take your call. And believe it or not, it's actually true. But we thought we should prove it to you. So we sent engineer Seth Samuel to introduce us to some of these volunteers who do take your calls all day, every day during these membership drives. And they are at the ready to take your call right now, actually. It's 1-800-525-9917. This is their way of giving to KALW, and we could not run this operation without them. So here Seth introduces us to one of our newest volunteers.
My name is Marjorie Schwartz-Scott. I live in San Francisco. I've been here since 1972 from New York City. Actually, this is my first time volunteering for KALW, so I was very excited when I decided to come by. This will be my second day. Love it. Love it. I started last week, and I had never been to this radio station. I listened to it all the time, and I was so curious to hear and see what it looks like. I was really surprised that it was in back of a school, a unified school. And I realized, well, of course, it's part of the unified school district. The radio station is connected to the unified school district, so it, of course it would be part of that school district. But I was very surprised to see it. It was an eye-opener for me.
Have you taken many calls here in the phone room?
Last Thursday, I took about 4, and they were all very generous donors. You could see that they were really excited about giving to KALW, and a few of them have been continual donors every year.
Why did you decide to start volunteering?
Because I listen to KALW a lot, and I think it's a great radio station. I love the programming, and when they said that they were starting their pledge drive and they were asking for volunteers, I wanted to give back to the station, and I wanted to give them some input and help them out. So I was very happy to do that.
Thank you very much.
We're so lucky to have you, Marjorie, and thank you, Seth, for taking us into the phone room to show that, yes, we have passionate people waiting to take your call at 1-800-525-9917. Real people, just like you, who want to do what they can to make KALW strong. So thank you for that. 800-525-9917 is the number again, or go to KALW.org and make your donation now. Make your pledge today. If you've been delaying it for a while, if you've been meaning to make that call, but you haven't found the time, we understand. Here's another chance to do it. 1-800-525-9917 or KALW.org. We're keeping these reminders short, and we're really listening to you, the listener, who said, you know what, we don't want the long, minutes-long breaks in the shows. We want to keep it short and simple, and you made it work. You've proven that it works.
1-800-525-9917. You can also click at KALW.org. But as promised, we are keeping these reminders short, so now we'll take you back to the show.
You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba.
And I'm Casey Miner.
In the crowded Bay Area, quiet spots are hard to find. But the sounds of traffic don't deter the birds and honeybees or urban farmers who plant and tend their seedlings in unpaved corners of the cityscape. While the land available varies within the region, so do the strategies for creating new urban gardens. KALW's Mary Reese visited 3 Bay Area cities to see how urban farmers are finding ways to get their crops into the ground.
It's a Saturday morning at a formerly vacant lot in Richmond. The sun warms the ground. Rows of fruit trees bend in the breeze. A raised bed made of cinder blocks harbors vegetable plants. Andromeda Brooks carefully plucks weeds from her raspberry patch, offering the young plants encouragement. This is Happy Lot Farm and Garden.
How you doing, Raspberry?
Less than a year ago, this 14,000-square-foot lot, zoned for low-income housing, lay empty, except for the litter.
And nothing has really been done on the lot for well over 10 years.
Unused city-owned land in Richmond doesn't get regular attention, as maintenance crews have shrunk.
This was one of the jobs that fell through the cracks.
Brooks watched from next door as trash piled up, and she decided to take action.
I started in October with a block cleanup, 3-day block cleanup, with 60 volunteers and the mayor showing up.
Once Mayor Gail McLaughlin got involved, the city council voted to donate the lot to a local nonprofit called Self-Sustaining Communities, so it could continue as a community garden tax-free.
There are residents that have come to me that have asked for vacant lots, and I've been able to work with the city manager to provide some of the city lots.
In Richmond's Iron Triangle, another urban farm has grown on the parking lot of a former Bank of America building.
And there have been property owners who have donated or, you know, partially or for a period of time provided some of their space for gardens. So we think there could be more.
Happy Lot Farm and Garden is a model for how the city can come together. Self-sustaining communities supplied fruit trees, and Cub Scouts planted them. High school students from Richmond and Marin built raised beds and the foundation for a greenhouse.
And a lot of the materials here is stuff from people who were going to take it to the dump. And I said to them, save your $20. I'll take it off your hands. And that's how we're making the walls for the greenhouse. All the glass over there was recycled, reclaimed.
Despite the support they offer, city governments often have limited control over what happens with vacated and foreclosed lots. In Richmond, for example, it's Contra Costa County that takes over a property when the owner has not paid taxes. Open lots with good soil don't come cheap in the densely populated Bay Area, and property owners aren't always willing to donate or sell them for cultivation. So would-be farmers sometimes use other methods. On Earth Day this year, a group called Occupy the Farm took over the fallow research fields at the Gill Tract in Albany and planted more than 70 rows of seedlings. Ryan Rising, who studies and practices permaculture design, was one of the occupying farmers.
I came here to grow food, so I'm here because of land access. I think that's very important that people have access to the land so that they can grow food and live in balance with the earth.
The University of California, which owns the land, kicked out the farmers in mid-May. University researchers planted the area with their own crops, though university officials also allowed some of the Occupy plants to remain. The renegade farmers broke in at least three times over the summer to harvest and distribute the fruits of their labor. The Gill Tract remains behind a tall fence and locked gates this fall while researchers continue their work. Dan Mogiloff of the Office of Public Affairs for UC Berkeley says they would really like to see
partnership between the community and the university to sustain urban agriculture, urban farming on that portion of the property that won't be used for research in coming years.
But if the university decides to end its research,
there is a plan in existence that was formulated in close collaboration with the Albany community, with our neighbors there, that would call for that land being used for community space, open area recreation, and I believe a community center.
Across the bay from Albany in San Francisco, there's a property bound by the I-280 freeway where cattails and fruit trees wave in the breeze. At 4.5 acres, Alemany Farm is unusually large for the space-starved city. Jason Mark is co-manager.
Nobody's getting paid here, and we're growing 4 tons, 8,000 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables a year.
Until recently, none of that produce could be sold at the nearby Alemany Farmers Market or anywhere else because the farm is a nonprofit located on city land. It's a confusing situation. For example, 5 years ago, the San Francisco Department of the Environment gave Alemany Farm a grant to sell fresh produce at a city-run farmers market dirt cheap, like a basket of strawberries for a dollar.
Then our landlord, the city's recreation and park department, said, oh my God, you're selling the food? And we said, yeah, we got a grant from this one city department to sell the food. And they said, no, you can't sell the food. You know, you're a community garden. You know, the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing.
A new city law passed this summer addresses both the administrative mix-ups and the distribution of urban produce. The ordinance streamlines the permitting process to make starting new urban gardens in San Francisco easier. David Chu is president of the Board of Supervisors and sponsor of the ordinance.
What we found in recent years is that we still have enormous waiting lists by residents. In more than two-thirds of our community gardens, we have over two-year wait lists for folks to get access to plots.
In the past, 7 city agencies gave money, while 11 different agencies supplied land.
But unfortunately, the support of all these different agencies has not been coordinated, has been highly understaffed, and frankly pretty inefficient.
Under the new law, one city agency or nonprofit will shepherd wannabe farmers through the permitting process. Still, Alemany's Jason Mark has this suggestion for any San Franciscan looking to start an urban farm.
My main advice is do it on private land. find a vacant piece of land and call up the landlord.
Alamany Farm isn't on private land. It's public. But that's part of its purpose. The farm holds U-Pick sessions every Wednesday for their next-door neighbors, the residents of the Alamany Housing Development. Mark says only a handful of families take advantage of the sessions. Not everybody knows how to prepare vegetables from scratch. So he's hoping to build an outdoor kitchen and teach people how to cook fresh food.
But yeah, in terms of like deciding you're going to come up here and pick like 3 pounds of green beans, if you're not cooking, you have no use for 3 pounds of green beans.
Growing food in cities near the people who will ultimately eat it makes practical sense. In Richmond, Andromeda Brooks Farm will hold its harvest this month. The Albany Gill Tract brought together disparate groups who want to preserve that land for farming. An Alamany Farm has become well-established in San Francisco, sharing its bounty with local low-income families with designs to take it a step further with a community kitchen. These initiatives mean that putting local produce on dinner tables should be getting easier soon. For Cross Currents, I'm Mary Reese.
You're listening to a special hour-long edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Coming up, a local filmmaker takes us around the world in 80 minutes.
You want this film to feel like you're flowing through it, and it doesn't sort of let you out anywhere.
That's coming up in this special Fall Pledge edition of Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba.
And I'm Casey Miner. Speaking of urban farmers, we want to introduce you to one from Palo Alto.
That's right. We came to you a few weeks ago to ask you to connect us with some of the most passionate people you know in the Bay Area, and you responded. Listener Kafiana McClanahan nominated urban farmer Nicole Wires.
The most passionate person that I know in the Bay Area is a woman named Nicole Wires. She works at a food justice nonprofit in East Palo Alto. She cares so much about what she does. She has helped to start the East Palo Alto Farmers Market over there. She teaches school children about food. She sort of came to food justice through original concerns about global warming. We don't always agree about anything, but when I think about a passionate person, she is the absolute first one that comes to mind. So, anyway, that's my plug. Thank you very much. Bye.
We sent KALW's Ashley Ann Krigbaum out to Collective Roots to talk with Nicole Wires, and she brought back this profile.
Here we are at our urban farm site in East Palo Alto. We have about half an acre back here, and we are in the process of transitioning from our summer garden to our fall and winter garden. So we still have some winter squash that are doing amazing, taking over. My vision about people growing their own food is not that I think realistically we're going to displace all of the food that we're buying in grocery stores and we're all going to be growing our own, all of the food we eat in our small little urban plots. But I think the process of engaging in the food system, even just in a small 4x8 garden plot, helps people recognize what it really takes and what kind of impacts our food system has. See what else we have back there. So we have Wangari and Dolores for Dolores Huerta and Wangari Matai.
And what are those?
These are our beehives. This is our second year in production, and we just harvested like 6 gallons of honey, so they're going gangbusters right now. Conservation has always been really important to me, so I got really inspired to work in the food system from that motivation. But the more I work in it, the more I'm inspired by all these other components. I mean, we all eat 3 meals a day. Food is directly related to our physical health, our mental well-being. It builds community. So it has become so much more than just an environmental. I feel like I'm the most fortunate person in the world because every value that I have working in the food system promotes those values. It's not just about environment. It's about community building. It's about human health. It's about all of these things together. So it's a really amazing place, field to be working in, and I just feel so lucky to have the opportunity.
That's Nicole Wires of Collective Roots being interviewed by KALW's Ashley Ann Krigbaum. I'm Hanat Baba, host of Cross Currents, and today, Casey Miner, our senior editor, is joining me. Hey, Casey.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. Well, today we're asking you during our fall membership campaign to give to Cross Currents. And you listen to the program, you enjoy the program, we hope. We're asking you to become a part of it. Become a part of it by funding it, literally, just like that's what it is. If you give a call right now at 800-525-9917, you're funding Cross Currents, you're funding KALW, you're funding radio that enriches you and radio that you listen to. 800-525-9917, or you can go online to KALW.org.
And, you know, we've been hearing throughout today's show from all of these incredible volunteers who come and man the phones during these membership drives. You know, they come in twice a year, sometimes three times a year when we have these drives. They pick up the phones and take your calls. And they're a huge part of the reason that we can do this. And here in the newsroom, we have a slew of volunteers also. I mean, anywhere from 5 to like 15 people in here on any given day who are coming in just because they want to make radio, because they want to be here, and because this station means something to them for some reason. And we know that it means something to you, too. And so please take this moment, take this opportunity to give us a call, 525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. And just say, you know, thanks. Hey, here's $5. Here's $10. Here's $25, $50. Whatever you have, whatever you feel like you can contribute. We're 77% listener supported, and everything you can give counts. So let's give you the number again. It's 800-525-9917. You can also go online at KALW.org.
And while you're online, you can browse the thank you gifts we have on there. But really, it's about joining this community of people who are listeners of Cross Currents, who enjoy the program, who've been following it since we started back in 2008. Can you believe it's been that long, Casey?
No.
It's been a while, but you have stood behind us and beside us and with us. And the pledges have been coming in, and we need you again now. This is the time for you to make a pledge. 800-525-9917. Our volunteers are in the room, and I can see them. There's like a couple of phones that are still free. So give us a call. Keep them all busy in there. They want to be busy, trust me. The number is 800-525-9917, or go online at KALW.org and make the pledge. And also, you know, where if you go online and make your pledge online, there's a little box where you can put in your comments, and we'd love to know what you think about the show. What do you like to listen to? What kind of stories do you enjoy? What kind do you not enjoy that you don't want to hear about? What part of the Bay Area are you from that you'd like us to cover? Let us know all of that by visiting our website, KALW.org, making a pledge, or call and tell that information to the phone volunteer, 800-525-9917.
And now let's hear from one of our most dedicated volunteers, one who has been with us for almost two decades.
Well, my name is Thomas E. Mason, and I come from Daly City, the wilds of Daly City.
How do you get here?
I drive.
Do you listen to the radio on the way here?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, I would not do anything but.
Which station?
Let me think. Which station would I listen to the most? Well, I suppose it's fair to say KALW.
Oh, really? I work at KALW.
What a coincidence.
It is just astonishing.
It is indeed astonishing. How astonishing can it be?
Could you tell me, what are you doing here today?
Well, I'm answering telephones when people call in. They want to make a donation to the station, and I'm one of the people that they talk to.
Why do that?
Well, I started listening to the station some time ago, around 1988 or so. And then I listened regularly, and I liked it well enough that I started volunteering to answer telephone calls. That was in 1989. So I've been around here 20 years and some change, in the interest of saving the little station that could.
The little station that could?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Why do you call it that?
Oh, it reminds me of that child's story, the little engine that could. You know, it goes huffing, puffing, and whatever engines do. And then it gets to the top of the hill, and it says, I knew, and then it goes down the other side. Well, I think of this as the little station that could.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Thomas, for your years of support to KALW. And you can talk to volunteers just like Thomas in the phone room right now waiting to take your call. It's 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917.
You can also go online at kalw.org and click on Donate Now. Then you can look around, look at the thank you gifts. But wouldn't it really be more gratifying to talk to someone like Thomas, who's given so much of his time and energy to keep KALW strong, the little station that could? Casey, we only chug along thanks to our volunteers and to you, the listener. Yes, what you give today is the fuel that we live on. The magic number is 77. You fund 77% of our budget, believe it or not. So 800-525-9917 is the number to call right now to pitch in, to show your support, and to really claim your stake in KALW.
And we have a matching grant for this hour only, so until 6 o'clock tonight. An anonymous listener in San Francisco has said they will match your donations up to $360, but that's only until 6 p.m. tonight. So get on the phone, call 800-525-9917 and pledge at any level, any amount of money that you can give. And that pledge will be matched up to $360.
Also, if you call right now during this hour of Cross Currents, you'll get a pair of tickets to join us in a Cross Currents mixer, a party that our team is throwing for all of you at the Oakland Museum of California on December 8th. And you get to meet the team at KALW News. You get to meet me and Casey and our engineers, Seth Samuel and Chris Hoff, and all the cool people who make this show. And so that's a party before we perform our second annual live Cross Currents. But that is if you call now, 800-525-9917 or kalw.org.
And now we'll go back to Cross Currents to meditate on a local filmmaker's vision of samsara, the most beautiful suffering you will ever see. Imagine you can witness the most beautiful and the most disturbing sights in the world. Riding a hot air balloon over exquisite Burmese temples, descending into poisonous sulfur mines in Java, meeting robot clones in Japan, exploring factory farms in China. These are some of the images of Samsara, a new feature film from Emeryville director Ron Fricke and producer Mark Magidson, now showing in Berkeley and San Francisco.
The team traveled through 25 nations to create a movie clearly designed for the big screen. Their 70-millimeter cameras and time-lapse techniques capture images of nature, spirituality, life, death, and hope without a word of narration. Sound overwhelming? It would be, but 5 years of carefully planning and editing make Samsara a guided meditation, affording viewers a chance to reflect upon the purpose of life in 2012.
Fricke and Magidson previously collaborated on the nonverbal feature films Kronos and Baraka. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with them and asked them to reflect on a recurring scene in their latest film, the painstaking creation of a sand mandala by several monks in a remote mountain temple.
That was in Ladakh, India, at about 12,000 feet of elevation in the sort of the northeastern part of India, Kashmir region. And at the Thiksay Monastery, a monastery that we had researched and went there and filmed that amongst some other things.
Ron. Well, it was our real anchor for the film. It's like really embedded in the concept of samsara. So we knew all along we wanted to do this, open and close the film with the sand mandala, create it, and then have it wiped away. It was really a metaphor for impermanence. This is what the film is trying to express through interconnection in the flow. So I'm not sure what led us to that monastery, but I remember we found that it was accessible, and they were very accommodating to make a mandala for us and do it in a room that was well lit. And then 2 days later, we set up to shoot it being destroyed, which we had one take and one take only. So it was... We almost didn't get that shot, actually.
What happened?
Well, we rehearsed it, you know, with the monks. But as soon as we rolled the camera and the camera got up into position and we yelled, you know, action, they froze up. We don't know why, but they'd come in like they were going to wreck it before they destroyed it, you know. And it was like, cut, stop that monk, you know. And then we'd get back to camera position and try it again. On the third attempt, we kept the cameras rolling and they did their thing.
Well, if they had done a partial destruction of it and then froze, that would have really not worked.
That's right. We'd had to start all over.
Either another week, yeah.
That's Ron Fricke. He's director of Samsara, and we're speaking with him and Mark Magidson, who is the producer of the movie. There's one part in this movie that was a bit different from a lot of the other work that I've seen from you guys, where there's something that looks like performance art that takes place. Could you tell me what's happening in that scene and why you chose to include that, Ron?
I think you're referring to the man with the clay behind the desk.
He's in something of a cubicle, it looks like.
Yeah, he's a French performer who actually we found on YouTube, and he's doing a performance about the shadow side, all the parts of you that you don't want other people to see.
So what does it look like on the screen, first of all?
Well, he's sitting behind a desk, and then he's reaching into a drawer, and he pulls out a jar, and he slowly is putting clay on his face until it's completely covered. And then he's poking eyes and making a mouth, and he just goes through all these transformations.
And he does it again and again. Mm. Once he has the face in place, then he covers himself up again, and he mm-hmm. rearranges the face. Why did you have him in there?
Well, it's not just about the beautiful places in the world or people. It's also about the other elements and sides of things. I mean, it's once that flow is broken, you could say, the images are much more intense. And, you've got people in cages and animals in cages and dolls that replicate humans and walls around religions. And it's all part of the shadow side.
Yeah, these are all different images that you have in the movie Samsara. Mm-hmm. That scene of the performance artist, I think that it launches one of the most memorable sequences for me. And the sequence of images that goes to a factory farm and you see chickens, I think it was in China someplace?
Yes, that was in China.
And then you see pigs and you see cows, and you go from that into the different stages of that farming process to then the consumption, to then self-image, to kind of this really extraordinary sequence of images. And for me, that was really a strong center of the movie, especially one to reflect upon as a human in 2012.
Well, I would say that we're just introducing those themes. We're not trying to come away with a strong opinion. We're trying to leave it somewhat open, but we want to show that striking imagery and show that as a part of the whole, as a part of the whole of the life experience and what is going on in the world at this particular point in time.
Was it difficult to get access to a place like that factory farm in China, where we're seeing images then of people working in these places or of, you know, mechanized processing centers that we just don't really see in the United States all that much?
Well, we couldn't access those in the U.S. We were able to access them in China. You know, they were proud of their factories. They're proud of the cleanliness and efficiency of those factories. In fact, I think in the pig factory, they actually required us to show their corporate logo in the shots. So if you look at the film, you'll see that their corporate logo in some of the shots.
And that also shows those, aside from showing kind of the uniformity of all these animals in these different situations, of all the people, there's a lot of fast motion, I noticed, around people in uniforms and going about daily life the way that it often is lived today. And then you'd slow it down sometimes on the individual, on the man with the tattoos all over his body with his baby daughter.
Tattoo daddy portrait. That was, I would say, one of these happy accidents that happened, which happened quite a bit. I think we went in there thinking we were just going to shoot another portrait where the subject is going to stare into the camera. And we got the cameras all set up, and we were at our subject's apartment.
Where was he?
He was here in Los Angeles. And we were outside his apartment. We're all ready to do it. And then his wife brought out this little baby girl. And suddenly, he turned into Tattoo Daddy. I mean, there wasn't one direction given here. He just went gaga.
He was so nurturing of that baby.
You couldn't ask for anything better than that.
That's Ron Fricke. He's director of the new movie Samsara. And we're speaking with him and Mark Magidson, who's the producer of Samsara. That was a real reflection on humanity, which is really comes through all of Samsara, as well as extraordinary pictures of nature. And then there's spirituality that permeates much of the movie as well. And that brings me to what for me was the most striking image, which I think was of Mecca. And you have that from a lot of different views.
Views of Mecca that you haven't seen before, because we were on top of a new 40-story building that was built right next to the mosque. And
looking down within the walls of the humanity circling.
We were there at Ramadan, and Ramadan happens all during the night. So there were 2 million pilgrims in the mosque. It was just full to capacity.
The people who are circling around where they pray, it is so many people. And the long shot that you have, you got very close at some points with extra telephoto lenses, I'm guessing. But then when you pull back and you see so many people circling, and then other people outside of there, and other people who are streaming in, I've never seen anything like that.
Mm. It was really an experience to be there. Everybody had come there to be with God, you could say, and they were all equals down in the mosque, all wearing the same clothes. And it had spilled out into the streets way beyond that.
And it's interesting then, juxtaposed as well, when everybody is wearing such similar clothes with then the people who are working in offices and the people who are working in factories and humanity as we know it today, these images do all come together. And I think that, would you agree that you're probably hoping that people will come to their own conclusions from seeing the images that you come up with, where it might be different from what you yourself have, Mark?
I would say that it's an individual type of experience. It's guided, and that's why the term guided meditation. It's guided, but it's open, and that's a lot of the music. The music is open. The music is spacious and feeling, and that's just a combination of imagery and music and the way it's constructed, the way the film's constructed to guide. And you know, it has, as you know, we've said it. Some of the images are theoretically, politically laden to some extent, but it's not what the whole experience is supposed to be. There's a holistic experience that we hope that people have with it. That it's an amazing planet to be on. It's an amazing time to be here, and you should feel connected to that.
You know, my basic frame of reference is we're all spiritual beings, that we always have been, always will be, and whether we know it or not. So just get over it and get out there.
Ron Fricke is director and cinematographer of the new movie Samsara. Mark Magidson is its producer. They spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney.
The film is now showing at the Embarcadero Theater in San Francisco and the Shattuck in Berkeley. You can hear more of the filmmakers' conversation at KALW.org, where they discuss the movie's portrayal of some of the most human-like robots in the world.
And if you're with it for just 5 minutes, you just go, wow, you know, you're just right there wanting to talk back.
You know, you can get right up to the face, like inches away, and it still looks real. It's kind of chilling.
Because the skin looks real.
Yeah,
it feels
amazing.
Real.
Yeah.
That's a web exclusive on artificial intelligence from the filmmakers of Samsara, only at KALW.org. And while you're there, please consider becoming a member supporter of your local public radio station, KALW. Just click on Donate Now.
Today, we've brought you a special edition of Cross Currents in honor of our fall membership campaign. I'm Hannah Baba. With me is our senior editor, Casey Miner. And interviews like the one you just heard that really take you into the process of making such an ambitious film are only possible with your support. So if you appreciate meeting these fascinating people who live and work among us, give us a call right now, 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917.
And if you call right now, it's 800-525-9917. We have a special gift available for you. The first 5 callers to become members at any level will get 2 tickets to any showing of Samsara between tomorrow and September 20th. So call now and become a member of KALW. Just say you want the pair of Samsara tickets, and your name will be at will call, so you can swing by any night between tomorrow night and September 20th. You don't have to give any advance notice. Just show up. You'll be on the will call list, and you can watch the movie. It's showing at the Landmark Embarcadero Theater in San Francisco. Perfect for date night, for girlfriend night, for Parents' Night, take whoever you want. It's 800-525-9917. Become a member at any level and claim your pair of tickets to the film Samsara.
800-525-9917 is the number to call. And also, if you call, you might get to talk with someone in the phone room who's a volunteer, and we've been introducing you to them throughout today's show. We're taking you behind the scenes during this membership drive to show you how we keep the station running. And the main secret ingredient is the time and energy of our amazing volunteers. So our engineer, Seth Samuel, has been taking us into the phone room so you can meet some of the people behind the voices who take your call at 1-800-525-9917. So here's one more introduction.
My name is Anne Barnett. My married name is Anne Barnett Burnett, and I was born in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I've been in the San Francisco area for about 15 years now, coming from Boston. I came out for a job in affordable housing. I listen to KALW all the time, every morning, for approximately 15 years, since I first moved out here. All the time, every morning, and I thought I could spend my time a little bit better answering phones here rather than sitting at home and listening to it on the radio. I've been a volunteer for about 5 hours now.
Wait, 5 hours total?
I just got here this morning.
Today's your first day.
It is.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been great. I've made a couple $100s, and I'm very pleased.
Have you been to KALW before?
No, I haven't. It took me about 15 minutes to find KALW this morning. I thought it might be a little bit more polished, more office-like, rather than challenged a little bit financially. So it's a good thing I'm here.
We're glad to have you.
Thanks.
That's one of our KALW phone room volunteers, Anne Barnett. Thanks, Anne, for lending your time to take pledges in our phone room. And you can call to pledge and speak to volunteers like Anne or Thomas E. Mason you heard from earlier. You can talk to these dedicated volunteers yourself by calling 1-800-525-9917 and making a pledge. And as you make that pledge, tell them why you're making the pledge. Tell them what you love about KALW, what programs you listen to, who you like to hear, when you listen. But also tell us what you may have us do differently. This is a conversation, and we mean it when we say that when you become a member, you really have a voice in how we do things over here at KALW. Cross Current Senior Editor Casey Miner is with me. Hey, Casey.
Hello, Hannah. And I just want to remind people, you know, we're 77% listener supported. That's a huge amount. And that means that, you know, we don't answer to corporations. We don't answer to a marketing department. We answer to you. And the beauty of this for you is that we're going to keep doing this no matter what. We will make you a radio show every Monday through Thursday. There'll be programming for you on KALW all day, every day, for as long as we can sustain it, whether you give or not. But whether you give or not also affects how long we're going to be able to do that for. So if you've never given, if you're thinking about giving, if you're always going to get around to giving but never quite do, now is really the time to do that. Your support is just so important to us. So please give us a call. It's 800-525-9917. We want to tell stories that inform and delight you. So please take an active role in this partnership today. Give what you can. It's 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917 or KALW.org. You know, when you give, we know you give because you want to support the station and continue to listen to the programming you hear on KALW. But it can't hurt to get a gift or two.
That usually doesn't.
I'm just saying, yes. So if you call right now during this hour of Cross Currents, there's still some time left. Give us a call right now at 800-525-9917 and claim your pair of Samsara tickets. We heard the interview earlier. Go see the movie. The first five people will get a pair of Samsara tickets. You can go watch it between tomorrow and September 20th. And if you'd like to contribute to our pledge challenge, an anonymous caller from San Francisco said, you know what? I'm putting $360 up right here. Whoever makes a pledge during Cross Currents at 800-525-9917, I will match their pledge up to $360. Be that person who calls right now and accept the challenge. 800-525-9917.
And when you do that, you know, we're going to be so grateful. We're already so grateful for your listening, for support. And we're also so grateful that we're going to throw you a party. We're going to throw you a party on December 8th at the Oakland Museum of California. We're having a mixer for people who become new members of KALW. And after that, we're going to have our second ever episode of Live Cross Currents. And you can come. You can come to this party. We would love to have you. We would love to meet you. And so please call right now. It's 1-800-525-9917. You can also go online at KALW.org.
And after you make your pledge at 800-525-9917, or if you go online at KALW.org, open up another window, go to Facebook, and go to KALW News and tell us why you gave. What do you listen to? What story resonated with you from today's show, from yesterday's show, from any show? Who you like to listen to? What issues you want to hear? We want to hear from you. We want to know what you'd like to know, who you'd like to hear from, where you'd like to go around the Bay Area. We go to many places. We bring you these voices from all around the Bay Area. Is there a corner of the Bay that we still haven't reached and you would like us to be there? Let us know on our Facebook page after you make your donation at KALW.org or your call at 800-525-9917. It's our pleasure to bring you this programming. Well, thank you for joining me during this hour today, Casey.
Thank you, Anna.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Cross Currents.